Welcome to What in the World? This is Ayamana Tara. I have with me Lisa Frith and Dave Burke. And this is our first podcast, so let's see how this goes. The idea of What in the World is we are looking at interesting metaphysical stuff that is not in the mainstream. There may be some alien stuff. There will probably be a lot of alien stuff, to be perfectly honest. And there may be some other stuff too, but archaeological sites, probably a bunch of stuff. So hopefully you enjoy this one, and we will probably make more. So Dave, do you have questions?
Sure. I think it's a good idea. I mean, this came about because of something I asked you, so I think that might be the beginning, might be a good beginning.
Okay, cool.
I, of course, don't
remember anything about it.
Of course, that's fine. So that makes it even better.
Okay.
So there was discussion, I was reading a book, and there was discussion about, we can get to Göbekli Tepe in the future, but the specific question of a place called Gunung Padang came up, and I had asked you, had you heard of it? And you're like, not really, but here.
I remember like doing like a little bit of Googling, so if you could at least give me like a location, that would be great. Just what part of the world it's in.
Is Asia too general?
Probably. What are we looking at? Southeast Asia?
Like? Indonesia.
Indonesia. Okay.
Is that the site with the almost the basalt foundation for all the different buildings? Almost like Devil's Post style, but layered into pyramids?
Not that I'm aware of. It's, I don't want to say too much. Because I want to see what gets said.
For sure. Okay.
But it is an ancient site.
It's one of the ones that they dug up that's older than they were expecting, right?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
The number I'm getting in my head is 30,000, but I don't know if that's... It is? Okay. So, it's really interesting when you look around the globe at the various places that have been centralized points of colonization and like landing pads and stuff like that. There's a big gap in the South Pacific. And it feels like this may have been one of those places where the ancients came in as a entry point for colonization. But it feels older than the other sites. Like it was one of the scouting groups kind of a thing. What did they find when they dug it up?
It's an ancient site where, much like Göbekli Tepe, where it was much more developed than it had any right to be, according to Orthodox historians.
Orthodox historians don't know anything. It's fabulous. Because, I mean, we've had so many rise of civilizations and complete obliteration of civilizations, and the historians tend to only know like the most recent stuff. I'm seeing it's interesting because when I'm talking about it, I'm seeing a lot of energetic similarities between that and ancient Egypt, where the ancients, the old ones came and were initially interacting to a fair amount with the population, and along the way got a little over-exuberant and taught them more than they probably should have. You know, the whole idea, like in Star Trek, of the Prime Directive is not totally off base. You know, you're not supposed to give a young culture or a young civilization or even a young nomadic population, really, tools that are too far advanced for them. We fuck it up. But, you know, some similar stuff happened in Egypt, but it was better than this one. This one looks like it went horribly awry. And may be like one of the bases for some of the Lemurian myths, legends, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, I'm seeing sort of a complex where there was interaction, possibly through intermediaries, with what the population thought were the gods, where they would get information and instruction about how to build certain things and how to create certain things. And eventually what happened is that they assimilated all of that information. And at some point, the old ones disappeared and even kind of hold a space of like forgotten gods. Like they're not even in a bunch of the legends. And that may be that the original population of that space was wiped out. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of like plate shifting and stuff. So, you know, there was very likely a bunch of natural disaster that happened that could have wiped the population out, or at least caused them to get so small that they forgot the stories. You know, you lose your shaman, you lose your stories. Or they get so warped over time that they don't matter anymore. And it's interesting, Lisa, that you mentioned the basalt thing, because I am seeing a layer of something underneath this. There's like shielding or something that maintains some of the integrity of the site. And the shielding may simply be because it was a landing pad or something originally. I don't know. It definitely feels pre-Atlantean to me. Do you have any specific questions?
Well, it's interesting that you do bring up Atlantis, because the person who is primarily responsible for the research being done there, his hypothesis is that this is Atlantis.
Hmm. It feels pre-Atlantean to me, but it may be like Lemuria or something. Atlantis has always felt to me like it was in the vicinity. It was in the Atlantic, not in the Pacific. And it's interesting because sometimes I get it like in the area of Cuba, and sometimes I get it more like off the Canary Islands, which would be the African coast. So I don't know what's up with that, because that plate shifting doesn't necessarily work in my mind. That may just be one of the spots where people, like refugees, landed after. But yeah, Atlantis has always felt pretty strongly like it was in the South Caribbean.
Okay, so, oh man, I could go in so many directions. So let's stay with the Caribbean.
Okay.
What's the Bimini Road?
Bimini Road. Can I have some sort of context?
it's literally a road.
It is. It's literally a sunken road.
Okay.
Off the coastline in Bimini.
Okay. I'm trying to picture where Bimini is. Hold on. What is that, more off the coast of South America?
Yeah, it's a Caribbean.
Yeah, it's a Caribbean, Bahamas, all that area.
Okay, I need a fucking map. Okay. Well, a lot of that area was above ground. It wasn't ocean originally. And I'm going to say, how long is it? Because I'm going to say it's not a road, it's a landing strip. It's an airport strip, but like space.
That's one of the theories.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't... Way heavier shit went on that than would go on a road. It's like a tarmac. And yeah, I mean... I keep seeing something that looks an awful lot like the space shuttle, but not piggybacked on something else. But big and heavy, like carried a lot of people, like literally like a receding of civilization sort of a thing. All right, I'm getting this whole thread. Here we go.
And here we go.
So, when Lemuria poofed, a lot of the old ones left the planet and they reseeded when Atlantis happened. And this was sort of a reseeding of the population. They took a bunch of hybrids with them when they left, and so this was bringing some of those hybrids back because they didn't know where else they didn't fit in with any place else. And so there were it was setting up a new colony, and they were actually using some pretty heavy high level technology. But the reason that the ships were so big was because they were bringing a bunch of stuff and a bunch of people with them. And there was a bunch of back and forthing because, A, they were bringing resources from here back home. And they kept having to bring resupply stuff in. Apparently we didn't have stuff. Or... what they were trying to start here wasn't taking off at the level they expected it to, so they kept trying. It's like, you know, when you're trying to plant like a vegetable garden or something and then stuff keeps like dying off and you keep trying. It looks like it was that sort of thing. Like, Atlantis was actually really hard to start. So, but it was seen as an opportunity to A, incorporate some of the DNA that we had that they needed, and B, to start to harvest some of our resources that they didn't have. It doesn't look like it was one of the gold harvesting places. That was always like mostly Africa, which means it's post-Atlantean, probably. But yeah, it looks like these were like transport carriers. You know, the word I want to use is troop carriers, but it wasn't warlike. It was colonization. I keep seeing domes. Have they found like any weird large-scale lumps around this or anything?
Supposedly they did. When years ago at one of the Crystal Skull conferences, there was a person who had an Atlantean sphere that supposedly came from that area, that as a diver he physically found this down in the water in what the remnants of a giant dome or temple or something like that, and he was able to like pluck this. And so yeah, I do want to say there are dome type structures there.
Okay, I mean, I'm seeing like three or four of them. And it looks like these were like some of the generation centers, so like some of the crystal generation centers and stuff. I'm actually very excited about this because we're supposed to be going to Grand Cayman in April.
No coincidences.
So that'll be entertaining. That gives me something to do while I'm there, while Rick's diving. Yeah, I'm seeing three or four domes. It looks like they were mostly power generation centers, but there was some healing that went on there because same energy. And the domes were somehow seen as where one got information from. So I guess there was like some temple aspect to them as well.
A lot of work with crystal generators, that sort of thing.
Yeah, most of their power source, not just like electricity or whatever, but also like oomph, came from crystal stuff. So, what you got?
So, I'm going back a little bit to when you're talking about harvesting DNA. So, I'm just wondering, when you say that, are you talking about harvesting DNA from Homo Neanderthalus? Or
well, there's a couple of times that it happens, right. So yes, and harvest may be the wrong word. You know, it wasn't like, you know, abduction type stuff. Right. It was more along the lines of what the Palladians did, where they tried like some interbreeding and some genetic experiments and stuff like that. You know, the Palladians started by trying to alter our DNA, and that only went so far. And then they sort of did some crossbreeding, laboratory style. You know, with all of these ancient ones, the problem came when they started to want to share DNA with us in a non-laboratory sort of manner. Because, you know, pillow talk, you get more information, and that's what started really screwing things up, and we're really good at exploding ourselves. But, yeah, some of them are pre-Homo erectus, and I really honestly think that, you know, what we are now is way more hybrid than, you know, anybody really wants to give credit for. And we also get some interesting stuff because simply, you know, when there are major traumatic events, cultural events, you know, that alters our DNA. Part of that's the Palladians' fault, but whatever. And so we have changed into something they did not intend. And we're moving closer and closer to sort of Elohim status, where we're understanding how to use the technology that's inside of us. And that makes some of the off-world folk nervous. Part of the problem with when they when the Palladians deconstructed our DNA, decommissioned part of it, turned part of it off, is that it enhanced all of our warlike tendencies, and we have a harder time than most civilizations remembering that we are part of a greater whole, and to take that out into off-world, without understanding how to use the rest of the technology fully, puts the universe in danger. I don't know quite else to put that, and I don't mean it to be as like drama hand waving as it sounds. But it's just, there is a concern. We don't know how to use what it is we have, and we're getting to the part where where we know enough just to be dangerous. Which is, it's not helpful. You know, before we go off world, we really need to transcend, overcome, learn how to harness better that anger, warlike tendency that we have. I mean, you know, anger is just a call to action, and it's just a passionate energy, and you can use it to blow through blocks, or you can use it to start a war, and we have a tendency to go the wrong way with it. And nobody off-world really wants us to bring that to them.
Can you blame them? The worst kind of cooties.
So
when the DNA was adjusted, way, it seems to have brought up a rise in our ego. And we lost our tribe, our spirituality, that sort of, somewhere along that line, do you think?
Well, so, if you look at it from like an operating system or a chakra point of view, we've been using our third chakra, the solar plexus area, the solar plexus area as our main operating system, which is what made us shorter. Our energy body actually wants us to be about as tall as if you put your hands over your head and touch your fingers together, which makes this our center, our main operating system, supposed to be the heart chakra, your point of connection. And part of that was a lowering of our vibration and a tinkering with the DNA, creating the illusion of separation. You know, and it's great. You go back to like the myths of like Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and stuff like that. And that's literally where some of that took place. We figured out some of the, how to access some of the technology inside of us, and it freaked the scientists who were doing the experiment out, and they had to readjust our DNA so we would forget that part again. So they made the illusion of separation stronger. So yeah, we go more into ego than we should. We go more into that concept of separation than we should. We go more into that place of fear than we should. You know, fear is a byproduct of the illusion of separation, and what it does is it serves to make us controllable, which is, you know, why you run into all of this problem these days with, like, how government and education operate, because, you know, let's keep poking that button and make sheeple so that we can do what we want. This, as soon as you start getting a population that's no longer controllable on that level, the status quo goes away.
So, just for people who may not be aware, who are the Pleiadians?
Well, they're the folks from Pleiades. In mythology, they show up as, like, the Sumerian pantheon. So, Inanna, or all of those guys. Marduk, all of them.
Inli, Inki, all those as well?
Yeah. That's all Pleiadian. From a more...
And these are Sumerian-based.
Yeah. Because that's kind of where they landed, was in Mesopotamia. So, but they're from the Pleiades. They show up in, or not Egyptian, Indian, Hindu mythology as the blue ones, all the blue gods that you see.
Krishna.
Yeah. And they came here first and foremost to harvest gold. They had fucked up their atmosphere and they needed gold to regenerate it. And Earth, as it turns out, has a really, really good supply of gold. And their original tinkering with the locals was to create a race that would help them dig up the gold, mine the gold. The race that they created, because it was a weird sort of hybrid. It was the sort of hybridization that we do with farm critters. So we couldn't reproduce on our own. They just had to keep making more of us. and that turns out is not sustainable. And so they had to do something else. And that's when they started tinkering with the DNA on a different level so that we could breed ourselves. Because that's more sustainable. But yeah, they were here to harvest gold, and they hung out for a while, and they got smacked pretty hard because they, by whatever universal governing body does such things, because they tinkered with stuff too much here, and they gave us too much technology, and they had to leave. There's an agreement that they're actually not supposed to be here. So anybody who says they're here operating as a Pleiadian is either lying or is doing stuff they're really not supposed to be doing according to their own rules of governance. Most of the Sumerian pantheon were sort of royalty from that space. They came because they were the elite. They had the information. They had the resources to get the gold. They don't like talking about it, but I think they're the ones who actually screwed up their atmosphere, too. So, you know, hey, restitution. We are nearing the end of our podcast. Do you have any final questions or thoughts?
So there was another name that you mentioned earlier, and, you know, in the brief amount of time, maybe just kind of, you know, talk about them briefly. You spoke about the Elohim.
Oh, the Elohim. So Elohim is a Hebrew word that is a, I want to say, feminine plural word with a masculine ending, either that or it's a masculine plural word with a feminine ending. It basically translates to God's goddesses becoming. And it is what humans are, essentially. This hybrid race are beings that are remembering, relearning how to use the internal technology we have within our DNA. And, you know, from a spiritual point of view, what we're doing here on this planet, is remembering how to do that, remembering how to be creator gods, remembering how to use our technology so that we can create as opposed to destroy. On a physical level, you know, it's us just trying to figure shit out and forget or remember that there is no separation, that it's an illusion. They show up in mythology, they show up in definitely in the Jewish tradition as angels, as an angelic order, and in a lot of like the ET stuff, because there have been beings over time, groups of people over time that of our hybrid race that have figured out how to use the technology. And what seems to happen is that they step sideways. You know, they're not here in this shared reality from the third chakra operating system anymore. They're still here, but they've raised their vibration to the point where we can't connect with them anymore. They see us just fine. I think a lot of people, when they channel, that's kind of the energy that they access. So a good example of that would be the Anasazi in the American Southwest.
One last, you brought up technology quite a few times, and my understanding is a lot of you're referring to us as the technology.
Yeah. There's a lot of ability, information, capability within our DNA that can be used to create. We have the capacity to be replicators, for lack of a better term, like from a Star Trek point of view, like we have the ability to move matter and energy into other forms. But as long as we're in this illusion of separation and we're in this illusion of fear, we don't have access to that.
Beautiful.
So, all right, cool. We'll be back for another one of these. Hopefully you've enjoyed yourself. This is Ayamanatara.